You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans. Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report presented by Belly Up Sports. My name is Brad Chandler. This is episode number 94. Today, we have a very special episode of the Pesky Report.
No. But I do know people who remember. And I read about them. Terrible mess.
You don't say.
Going to be interesting.
Today, we have two of our co-hosts that are normally on during the regular season, and we also have Brady. How are we all doing today? Brady, Bailey, and Ed.
Hello. Hopefully my computer doesn't explode and I can actually hear people, because that was the intro. I did not hear anything.
Oh, snap.
Happy to be here. Happy to be back. It's my first one of the year with you guys. I feel like I barely even recognize Brady at this point. I forgot how handsome you are.
Oh, Ed, you shouldn't have. I mean, I'll keep going, but thank you. Nice to see everybody here. Nice to see everybody.
Yeah, nice to see everyone. It's the first time Bailey's been on the show. It's the first time I've seen Bailey all year, Ed all year. Brady, I see you all the time. Ugly hag. I'd rather hear about your alpacas and stuff. Sure. So first and foremost, Bailey and Ed, you guys have a podcast that you do as well. You guys do an MLB, like an all MLB a podcast. So why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, we're just trying out something. It's called Bubbly in Baseball. Right now we're taking a little break from the bubbly aspect, you know, for a dry January and some health reasons. But usually, you know, we're drinking some sparkling adult beverage and trying to really talk about all of Major League Baseball. It's been a little tricky with, you know, Major League Baseball not existing right now. So we've been doing some Red Sox stuff, but I think we're having a little bit of fun with it. I don't know. I think you're having a good time, right, Ed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, one thing that I've learned is that if you enjoy doing something, you can always find a good way to have fun doing it. And, you know, we've just been, at least for me, it's been just a good excuse to talk baseball and to, you know, get a little drunk while I'm doing it. Yeah, but it's really, but to be honest, it's Bailey's brainchild. This is really been, it's been a lot of fun for me, kind of just she approached me with it, and I was kind of just like, yeah, I'll co-host that. It sounds fun.
You know, just because it says bubbly, you can definitely change the thing that you're doing. You know, bongs make nice bubbly sounds.
Sound like, that as you heard. Yes, as we heard in the intro.
It's true.
So we can get it.
We've been kind of struggling. We were struggling for a little bit on what to talk about. So we decided that we were going to talk about the 2004 postseason.
It's a good one.
And yeah, definitely was a good one. I ended up getting COVID right before the New Year's. Mm-hmm. So for the week into the New Year's, I just watched a shit ton of the 2004 season. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of things that happened in that season that I don't remember because I wasn't like paying attention to it like I do now. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I never heard of that. No, I was just saying we're so far separated from it too.
Yeah, and we just finished up, what was it, the first three games of the ALCS? Yeah.
So where we are last left off here, it's 2004, it's the ALCS, Sox are down, three games none, just got their asses handed to them by the Yankees, 19-8. Which, by the way, I was at that game. As well.
Oh, seriously?
I was at game 3, 4, and 5, just had to get the photo there. Really excited to see Derek Lowe make his appearance on the mound because there's no one else to turn to, and just hope he can give a quality start.
Yeah, we haven't talked about 4, 5, 6, or 7 yet. That was supposed to be the next episode of the Pasco Report, but because of the news that was just announced yesterday morning, John Lester retired. I decided to reach out and see if anybody wanted to do a John Lester appreciation episode, which I think it's appropriate. It would have been pretty cool if, you know, we were able to get John Lester on the podcast, but another podcast to that.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
It is. Mm-hmm. But I knew they were going to when they said Carrabba's posted up. He was like, "Oh, we have a special guest coming on today, and he's making his debut." Blah blah blah. And I was like, "Oh, it's Lester."
So, yeah. My question with that is like, you know, the Red Sox podcast immediately gets him. Are there any Cubs podcasts that are like huge, or is just Section 10 just such a crazy thing that it's as big as it is, and we get to have it within, you know, our Red Sox community?
I think that Section 10 is probably one of the bigger podcasts out there. So when Carrabba's tries to reach out to somebody and is like, "Hey, you want to come on the show?" He can get them on. He's got that. He's got that stroke.
It's crazy. Yeah. And like, yeah, he was like Lester did great things for the Cubs, but you don't see him immediately on a Cubs podcast because there's no Cubs podcasts the way that there are like Section 10, you know?
Ouch. Yeah, I definitely agree. It's there. Crazy.
I think he's looked at, you know, most people as a Red Sox. You know, I mean, he definitely had huge contributions for the Cubs, and that's amazing that he was able to do it twice, different leagues, you know. But he's a Red Sox.
I do like the fact that so I listened to a little bit of the podcast before we started, and he like basically doesn't even talk about the Nationals or the Cardinals. He did talk about the Oakland A's too, and he was on that team. Like, he was on that team for only like, I don't know, 16 days.
Yeah, so that'll probably leave a sour taste in his mouth, though. You know,
he only pitched 10 games for the. 11 games.
If memory serves, he was traded to Oakland in a three-way deal that got Cespedes. Is that right? Back to the Red Sox?
Cespedes was in he was in Oakland, though. Who was
and then Cespedes was then flipped the following offseason for Rick Porcello.
That's correct. Yeah. I believe Johnny Gomes was also part of that trade to Oakland.
Yeah, he was traded to Oakland.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, of course, I know everyone agrees that the Sox botched that contract. Like, he should have never left, of course, right?
100%.
Yeah. But like,
all on ownership.
To turn into Rick Porcello, who won the Cy Young, I mean, that's still pretty good recovery from a mistake, though.
They still haven't recovered from it, in my opinion.
I mean, they won the World Series in 2018. I think we're okay. I think
they
did fine with the recovery.
I mean, that
he's retired. Like,
well, now he's retired, but where's Rick Porcello, you know?
Rick Porcello just is flashing somewhere in New Jersey. That's what I think he's doing. He's
pumping gas.
He made a little He's definitely not doing that in New Jersey.
No, he got a job.
Got a job pumping it, so he pumps it for everybody.
Yeah.
He's probably the owner of the place that, you know, that needs to be, a guy needs to come out and pump gas.
Yeah.
We were talking about that beforehand.
Pretty Ricky's pump shop. There you go.
Little Ricky's pump shop.
Pretty Ricky's pump shop, yeah.
All right, Brady. So, do you remember when John Lester made his debut?
I do.
And give us a story.
In terms of what happened in the game?
Yes.
That I can't remember. I remember watching it, reading about it, being excited, watching with my dad, and knowing the fact that it was a guy that Theo drafted. I believe it was his first ever pick. And reading about him for years and being like, holy shit, this is really cool. So I just remember being glued to the TV and just watching it and just seeing a guy, a kid come up, but he looked like a fucking professional from the second he got there. Did not look out of place at all. That's my memory of John Lester's debut.
Bailey?
Yeah, he was number 62. That was his number that he had before he cut it in half to 31 for some reason. yeah, I just remember that it was exciting because, I mean, it's truly the last starter that, you know, they've been able to develop, you know, and it's been a long ass time. It was like Lester and Buckholz and really hasn't been since starter. Like, obviously, they've developed pitching, but just really hasn't been starting. So, yeah, it was exciting just, you know, when you get to that's homegrown and somebody like that had, you know, so much talk, like there was talk about him coming in to the league and pitching and just being successful for so long. And, you know, then you see that person go and, you know, it's not, he didn't want to go, you know, ownership just lowballed. But yeah, I just remember being exciting about, I always get excited about when we can bring up talent and if they can stick at the major league level and be as successful as Lester was, it's always really exciting.
Ed.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting with Lester because I remember the first time I heard of him was back when that trade, there were rumors of Nomar Garciaparra was going to get traded to the White Sox for Magleyo Ordóñez, and they would have sent Manny Ramirez and John Lester to Texas for A-Rod. And that's something that gets lost in that whole trade a lot, is that Lester would have been going to Texas in that deal. And I remember that was the first time I had really ever heard of him. I didn't follow. I think he was drafted in 2003, and I didn't really follow minor league baseball that much at the time. But, you know, you hear that name next to all those other names, and you're going to remember it. And, you know, like Bailey was saying, there really haven't been a lot of pitchers developed by the Red Sox particularly well. If you think about it, I mean, besides Clay Buchholz, have there been anybody that's been like even somewhat useful that they drafted? E-Rod was traded for.
Well, that was my question, is do you consider E-Rod, although he was not discovered?
No, I think that he was in Double A by the time they got him, so the development had already taken place. So in a weird way, that was a Duquette guy. E-Rod, he's more a Duquette guy.
That's actually kind of funny.
But yeah, I mean, it's incredible that he came up and was immediately effective, and you know that he had his bout with cancer and that he came back. And I remember, I think the thing that I remember the most was that World Series start, because it was my first year at college. I was at Arizona State, and everybody in my dorm was rooting against the Red Sox. There were a bunch of guys from Cleveland that were living there that were really pissed off that the Sox had come back and beaten the Indians. So I was just watching it in my room by myself.
Oh, God.
Oh, that was great. You made it 2007 ALCS Game 7. I was there for the J.D. Drew Grand Slam.
Oh, man, the best.
Fausto Carmona.
Oh my God! Formerly known as
What did he be? Was he for Fausto Carmona, and then he became something else, or what was the order with that?
I don't remember, but Fausto, I remember he was like unfreaking hittable that year, and it was like, oh crap, they came back, but they're gonna die. And JD Drew was up. I think it was the first inning, bases loaded on, and crack. And my father hated JD Drew, hated him.
I'm with your father.
Yep, and the second that the ball hit, I was like, "Nope, can't say nothing." You know, I was always a JD Drew guy. That was a fun game to be at for sure.
I just have multiple reasons why I wasn't a big JD Drew fan, but yes, thank you. He did contribute, and his 2008 was like incredible too. So,
I honestly, you guys all are sitting here talking about the 2006 and 2007. I didn't know him until probably, I want to say probably like mid 2007. It was late 2007, I think. when I heard of him. And then I really wasn't paying attention all that much to baseball back then. But then in 2008, I believe he made that. Was that the year he had the no header?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yep. So in 2008, when I was like, oh wow, this guy had cancer. He comes out, he throws a no hitter, which happened to be was that to Tech?
Yep.
I'm sure it had to be, right? That's
he caught part
of the course, right?
Yeah.
Now who's in the
Hall of Fame?
Nomo.
Buckholz.
Low Buckholz.
And Lester. Yeah.
And should have been Curt Schilling, but Curt Schilling shook him off. Dumbass. He would have caught two in 2008. Is that it?
Fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I remember that start. Hideo Nomo was fucking electric.
Oh my God. That was his first start with the Sox, too, wasn't it?
It was. Nobody was even close. He was so good that night.
What year was that?
02, maybe?
Yeah, that was it was 02. That was his 1 year with the Red Sox. I love Nomo even before he came to the Sox. And
for sure.
You know, he did pretty well for the Dodgers after that. I think he's still a pitching coach for them now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not like for the full team, but he like works. There's a guy who got traded to the Pirates. This guy Bednar, I think David Bednar. Nomo taught him how to throw a sinker ball. Look up the guy's numbers for this year. He was like a 2.20 ERA or something like that. I mean, it's the Pirates and they suck, so like who's going to hear anything about the guy? But he really learned how to use that sinker.
So that he sounds good. Prior to the 2016 season, the Padres hired Nomo as an advisor.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, it's the Padres, not the Dodgers, sorry.
And then David Bednar has stated that he learned his split finger from Nomo.
Maybe he can work with Tanner Houck.
Oh, that'd be great.
Right?
Houck was just I just saw a video of Houck throwing. Looks pretty good.
Put him with Nomo, though. Let's see what the fuck happens.
I think he's thrown with Scherzer and Verlander.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Also good.
Yeah. Also good.
Verlander's a Mizzou guy, so that makes sense there. They both went to the same college.
It's good company to keep. A little Nomo wouldn't hurt though.
What is your favorite memory of John Lester outside of the no hitter, which he threw 130 pitches?
Oh yeah, they never let you do that today.
I was actually talking to somebody asked me today. They were like, we were talking about like, do you think we're going to get baseball? And I was like, I don't know. They're having the talk today. And they're like, oh, what are they talking about? I was like, I don't know, but players want the DH. And then somebody was like, I don't want the DH. I think that's pathetic. That's not baseball. I was like, you're like, yeah. Well, I would, but I no longer work there. So, but I was like, he goes, what do you say to me? He said something about like, everybody likes the National League, blah, blah, blah. I love watching the National League. I was like, no, you don't. You like watching the American League play against the National League once in a while. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're an American League team follower. You follow the Boston Red Sox. They have the DH. So it's different. And I was like, nobody wants a pitcher hitting. No. Unless they're Shohei Ohtani.
I was about to say, except for Ohtani.
Yeah.
Rick Porcello was fun too, though.
Porcello Cologne was pretty fun too.
Listen, Beckett, he had a couple doubles. Fun. Yeah, that's true. In fact, it was kind of fun.
Beckett was fine.
Wakefield was a. Oh, sorry.
Can I ask? And I never understood this. Why do they wear coats on the bases?
I think it's to keep warm. But they same reason they wear. You know, they're all wrapped up when in the dugout.
To look cute. Like,
maybe they should take hints from you and Ed.
looking handsome.
I mean, 2011, they did do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Lester was part of that team too.
All right, guys, let's get back on track here.
Yeah, so, Brad.
Outside of the complete game, the no hitter. what were your favorite memories of John Lester?
That 2013.
That was good. The 07 embrace that Francona and Lester had on the mound was.
I said besides the no-hitter.
No, that was in the World Series.
Colorado. Oh, the no-hitter was – oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm talking about World Series. The start he had in World Series. Coming back from cancer. Francona and him had a big embrace. That was special.
Yeah, Francona really loved him. Yeah, I'd have to say
they were both cancer survivors, weren't they?
I don't know if that time Francona – like, didn't Francona have it a little later? I'm not sure.
He had a lot of health issues, but I'm not
sure. Yeah, he's had a ton of health issues. Like a lot of circulatory issues. Really weird.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, I probably have to go with Brady. I agree that World Series just after, you know, coming back from cancer and, you know, how scary that was. And then his rehabbing in the minor leagues just to come back and pitch an absolutely incredible game in the World Series. Like, I think he was still young. I think like 24 years old is... You know, he's the kind of guy that went out there and had, like, no fear on the mound and just, you know, just pitched, you know, whether or not, like, there were times where he's frustrating, whether or not he was ever really truly a quote-unquote ace. He was never than a number two for the Red Sox, and to think that you developed a number two is absolutely incredible. I would love if the Red Sox could develop a number four, a number five, a three, you know? I definitely think of everything. Like, yeah, great. In 2008, the no hitter was great, but I think that World Series was just, you know, what he had come back from was just incredible.
For me, it was definitely, and I think it gets a little underlooked because of what Ortiz did, but 2013, that World Series, he went absolutely rip shit there. I'm just looking at his numbers here. He was 2-0, 0.59 ERA, 15.1 innings. He struck out 15, walked 1. So he, if it wasn't for Ortiz turning into Barry Bonds for a week, he would have been the World Series MVP there. He was just so locked in. And he was always good in the playoffs, but he took it to another level in 2013. They might not win that World Series without him. I mean, Koji obviously was incredible too. John Lackey had a great comeback year. That was one of the years Buchholz managed to stay healthy. But Lester was just always, he was always the glue for that team. You know, he was, it's like you said, he might not have been a number one, but he was a consistent number two. And he performed like a number one sometimes.
Yeah.
Can I ask you that World Series?
I read somewhere that some believe that he's the greatest postseason pitcher of all time. Not to knock Lester in any way, shape, or form. I think he's definitely like deserves massive accolades to say like one hell of a postseason pitcher. But it's a little tough, I think. You know, I mean, you know, it's a little tough in my opinion to really put him as the clear number one. I don't know about that.
It's tough to gauge that. Just looking at his numbers here, though, he had 17 different playoff series in his career, 154 innings, 2.51 ERA, 1.019 WHIP, 133 strikeouts to 40 walks. So he was, you know, objectively he was very good, but, you know, there's been a lot of pitchers who have pitched in the postseason. So I'd need to see the other numbers lined up against those, but it's hard to say that he wasn't at the very least a very impressive postseason pitcher.
Right.
Yeah, I think if he's ever to, you know, people will be like to get him into the Hall of Fame, not into the Hall of Fame, people really look at that postseason. I think that could be something that pushes him over the edge. I don't, you know, so who knows?
So my favorite memory of John Lester, I'll go with as a Red Sox and as a Cub, as a member of the Cubs, because we can show appreciation for the Cubs as well. The World Series, 2007 World Series, like Brady was saying. The other one I got to say is more like a funny is when he threw, I forgot who it was, when he threw the guy out at first base because for some reason Lester just had a problem throwing people out at first base. That not throwing them out, picking them off. He had the yips. There was also another situation when he was with the Cubs. The ball got stuck in his glove, and he had to throw the ball, throw the entire glove over to Rizzo.
I love when that shit happens.
Was it Tavares? Who used to roll the ball to first base?
Yep. He was a nut.
That guy was absolutely fucking incredible. Funny as hell. Lester had some good shit. One thing, I saw something on Twitter. So he played with Boston for 9 years. He played with Chicago for 6 years. He pitched 242 games for the Red Sox. He started 241. He pitched and started 171 games for the Chicago Cubs. He had a win-loss percentage of .636 for both Chicago and the Red Sox. And he had an ERA of .364 for both the Red Sox and the Cubs. And he pitched over 1,000 innings for both teams. Crazy. Mm. How do you have the exact same winning percentage and the exact same ERA?
Gotta have that consistency.
That's eerie.
Unbelievable.
Chris Davis is not impressed.
Which Chris Davis?
Oakland.
Mr. 247.
Yeah, he hit 247. I think it was three seasons in a row.
Yeah, that was wild.
I love baseball so much for that shit. When you put numbers, I'm a math guy, right? You put numbers and baseball together, that's why it's perfect. It's great. Because, I mean, what the fuck are the odds to have the same exact batting average 3 years in a row?
Yeah.
It wasn't 3 years in a row, man. It was 4 years in a row. It was 2015 to 2018.
That's amazing.
He missed it in 2014 by hitting .244.
Jerk.
How dare you?
And that's yeah, his on-base percentage was pretty close, too, for two of the years. For 2017, he was .336, and 2018 was .326. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's when he was good.
He fell off the face of the earth a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's like, God, I wish I could hit .247.
.219, he hit .220. And 2018, he was at 48 homers. I think it's the juice. Because he went from 42, 43, 48, 23. Then in COVID, in the COVID season, he only hit two home runs.
Pilates.
Well, he got hurt, too. He came up a big power hitter with the Brewers, and then he got traded to the A's and went absolutely apeshit there.
Imagine how many fucking home runs he would hit if he was in a smaller ballpark.
Yeah, he had a lot of power.
Like in Philly? Oh, that'd be cool.
Colorado?
Oh,
yeah. He did like 500 home runs.
If I was the Rockies GM, that's all I would fucking do is just find guys that like hit like deep fly balls. Like everyone would be like a Rob Deer. Ed, remember Rob Deer?
Yeah, vaguely. I was thinking more like that one year the Rockies had Mark Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was a brilliant signing for them.
That's all I would do. That's it. Like Willie, I would totally, if I was O'Dowd or whoever was running the team, man. Like Willie Mopena would have definitely been a guy like, we need that fucker. You know what I mean?
Be the most entertaining team in baseball, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, they're going to lose 19 to 14, but, like, they're going to have fun.
They're going to have 14 home runs, though.
Yeah, a lot of strikeouts.
Wow, he surprisingly only hit 30 home runs in 2017. I thought he would have hit more.
He was getting to the end of his career, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sorry.
But did he hit .247?
Oh, God, he probably hit, like, one something. No, actually, surprisingly, had a better batting average than I would have thought. He had 267 that year.
That's edible.
That's where it all went wrong. That's where it went wrong. Yeah.
There were solid years where the dude was hitting a $1.98. But he could hit a home run.
I forgot that Willie Mopania played for the Red Sox in 2007.
Oh, they were so pumped. Everyone was so pumped.
Oh, the power was incredible.
The whole 11 home runs he hit in 2006 and the 5 he hit in fucking... Oh, are you talking about Davis still?
No, I'm talking about how far...
I was talking about Willie Mopania.
No, Willie Mopania's power was incredible. It went so freaking far. I think he hit like one of the furthest home runs in like one ballpark. It was just like he mashed the shit out of them.
Oh, so that's... Oh, okay. Now I get the Franchi Cordero comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think Franchi still has way more potential than Willie Mopania ever had.
Franchi's actually athletic. Willie Mo was just kind of like if Arnold Schwarzenegger, somebody with that build, was playing baseball and wasn't particularly coordinated but could really match the ball far when he made contact. Franchi can actually run, though, and make catches in the outfield and stuff.
He sounds like my Rocky. You know what I mean? Like... Sign that boy up, put him at shortstop, and you're like, you can't play short, and like, neither can anyone else. Fuck it. Like, you know,
this is just such a good idea for a team. Like, I know that they'd go 100, like 0 and 162, but like, it doesn't even matter. They'd hit many home runs.
They're just gonna keep matching fucking homers. It's kind of fun, you know, like, it's not really, but sort of.
Who's the ace of this team? Is it like Madison Bumgarner or something?
Oh, No. For my hypothetical Rocky team?
Yes.
Do you remember the Red Sox starter had a failed starter, got hurt? Toma Oka? Remember his
name? I remember Oka. He threw a perfect game in Pawtucket.
Yeah. Yeah. I want all retreads, right? Guys were like, one more shot. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not going to work. Or pitchers that forego throwing hard. And they go to the knuckleball because
that's what Oka did, though. He tried to come back as a knuckleball pitcher. Like, that really happened. That's like too perfect.
Is he like the only Korean born knuckleballer to ever, like, that'd be amazing?
I mean, I don't think he made it back to the big leagues. I know that he tried to have a comeback, and I think, like, I want to say Toronto signed him or something like that. But yeah, no, he never was able to come back.
I would like to get the closer, would be the Red Sox version of Eric Gagne. I would like that to be.
Oh, God.
Possibly Craig Hansen as well.
I wanted Craig Hansen to be so good.
Me too. That didn't happen.
Can we bring in, like, who else is, like, a good failed pitching version like that?
Oh.
Well, Bard was until he made his comeback.
Well, he made a comeback with the Rockies.
I know. There you go.
That's true.
Perfect.
Well, the Mets had Generation K that never really fucking took off. Bill Pulsifer, great.
Oh, shit. I remember Pulsifer.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's what I want. I want a full just band of retreads and just pretty much the Orioles rotation, right? is what, except for John Means. He's not.
I was about to say
good.
Means.
Too good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no
Means can pitch from time to time, you know.
Can that Australian lady be on this rotation, too? Lefty,
no,
that
she's good.
Talking about.
No, I like her. No, she's good. I just subject her to this.
Jackrell has such good form. Shit.
She looks like a John Lester. She has a John Lester type.
She does.
Delivery.
Yeah, she doesn't fit on this. She doesn't fit on that rotation at all because she looks like she has a future. I want people that only have a past.
Yeah.
Her name is Genevieve Beacom. Mm-hmm. And she's 17 years old.
Yeah. Come on, Red Sox. Get on that shit.
I was actually thinking about that. And I think I said that in the last episode. It would be awesome.
You have nothing to lose and so much to gain.
I mean, she's
17. There are no lefty relievers in the Red Sox system. The best one is like Rio Gomez, who's in Double-A. Like they honestly could use the depth.
Listen, can she close?
Maybe. Only one way to find out.
You look pretty fearless on that mound.
I like it. I like it. But not on my Rocky team, though. I just have to be, you know, like.
You want, like, Rick Ankiel, the pitcher, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god!
But the at the end, not in the beginning, because that was a good rig and kill. Ed, do you remember this name? This is now I'm going back. John Dobson.
Oh shit, that actually does sound familiar.
John Dobson was the number five starting pitcher. I went to Fenway like four times as a kid, and I miss Clemens every fucking start. And I saw their number five, not their number one, John Dobson, who sucked.
So he's their ace then. He's definitely their ace. And every time you go to see your team, the fantastic Colorado Rockies play, he has to pitch for you.
For sure. Great. Yeah, thanks, John.
You don't get to see Ankiel.
Who was the guy? Oh, fuck. 2003. Sox trade for a starter from the Atlanta Braves for the stretch run.
Bird?
No. Although I love Paul Bird.
Oh, God. His, like, delivery was like –
Paul Burr was great. Okay, I'm going to have to – now I have to go back and research this one. This guy was old as fuck, and he was, like, almost a professional bowler. John Burkett.
He was there for a couple of years, I thought, Burkett. Like, more than one, wasn't he?
He may have been, but John Burkett now is who I want to post that. He's probably 68.
How about – I don't know how to pronounce his name. Byung-Hyun Kim?
Byung-Hyun Kim. BK?
Oh, father, that's a good one. When we traded for him, he was fucking irate.
That guy was a lunatic.
Did you ever hear the story that he, on the bus, he used to sleep? You know how like there's a little part where you could put like your bags or something like that, on a bus? That he would climb up there and he would sleep there because he could sleep fucking anywhere. And, I mean, he sucked at the baseball, but at least he could sleep anywhere.
I like that ability, though. Like, I wish I could do that.
Same.
But that's such a small space. I mean, I know he wasn't a big guy, but shit.
Right.
Here's one for you, Brady.
Sure.
John Wasden.
Oh, John Wasden. The John Wasden project. That didn't work out well.
How about Skip Lockwood?
Nope. Brian Rose. Talk to me about Brian Rose.
Oh, man. Shit. There's a guy that's a never was.
Yep. That one hurt. All these guys that I had such high hopes for.
Heathcliff Slocum.
Oh, Heathcliff. But he gave us Derek Lowe and Tech. So I love Heathcliff Slocum. Love him. One of my favorite Red Sox.
Larry Anderson.
Oh, he sucked. Ugh. He was traded. I think he was in the Schilling trade.
Wasn't he the return? Wasn't he the return though for Jeff Bagwell?
That's what it was. Yep.
Oh, what a trade!
That would have been nice. That would have been great.
How about Steve Avery?
Steve Avery was a great pitcher for the Braves.
Yeah, another Brave actually.
Yeah, the Red Sox did that for a while. Remember when they got what's his name, John Smoltz?
Yeah, they never got Maddox or Glavin.
Right, John Smoltz was fucking awful for the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
But he looked good. He looked good.
Matt Clement.
Glavin would have made sense, though, because he's a
love Matt Clement. Native. I was so excited when the Sox signed Matt Clement, and I had such high aspirations. I was wrong.
Fuck. Who was the pitcher 2018 who threw his glove down and fucking, like, broke his wrist or something?
Oh, that's Carson Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, that like ended his career.
Yeah, I liked him too.
I got Smith and Tyler Thornburg mixed up. I still do to this day.
Same person. Oh, God. Have you ever seen the two of them in the same room at the same time?
No, because they were always hurt.
Yeah.
They were never healthy at the same time.
Did you see him in the hospital when you were there, Ed?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know, actually. There were a lot of people there.
Matt Young.
Oh, piece of shit.
I don't even remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Now 92.
Yep.
Oh, God.
They were tough to watch. They were a real tough watch. But
I was not watching baseball in 1992.
I was. And how about
the 2009 Dice Cave Matsuzaka? Oh,
boring God. As fuck.
Those games lasted forever.
How many people could you walk without giving up a run? That was a challenge.
Dice game. That's the Dice Game Matsuzaka challenge, right there.
And here's one last one for you, Brady. This one's bringing it old school. Okay. Mike Torres.
Oh yeah, come on.
Oh dude, I have a story. I have a Mike Torres story. He hit my mom at spring training. My mom, back in like when Mike Torres was on the Red Sox, I think it was like in the 70s, she went down to like spring training and she like went by herself and she was like in a bar. And this was like when my mom could get it, she looking good. And she said that.
Wait, what do you mean when she could? As though it's
not my dad now, but like the woman's in her 70s. She'll tell you that there was a day when she was hot shit. So she was like, and she's like sitting there and she's like, he's like approaching me. She's like, he's coming at me. And she's like, all of a sudden, she's like, I just go into panic mode. And she's like, I get up and just like leave. And I was like, well, you didn't. She's like, but then I looked up at the time frame. The dude was married. I was like, oh, and he was just trolling for like young women in bars down in Winter Haven, Florida at the time.
Hey, Ed, do you remember when the Sox traded for Ed Sprague?
Yes, the third baseman.
Yes. And
what did
they
give up for him?
Nothing. But
because he'd been with like the Pirates for a while. He couldn't really hit though by the time they got him.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn and I was going to the Red Sox game. And as I'm eating breakfast in the lobby, who's sitting right next to me?
Ed Sprague.
And he's there with his agent and he's got, you know, Red Sox letterhead probably looking over whatever. And I was like, why the fuck is a major league ball player at the Holiday Inn? Like, what the fuck? And then he went and played in the game. And I think he went like 0-for-4 with like a, I think he booted a ball at third. And
what year was this? Was this pre John Henry? Was this like 2001?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's wild.
Oh, they were not. Listen, that's my Red Sox teams.
Those are the ones I grew up on too until like 2003, where they were just kind of horse shit.
Oh, remember Brett Saberhagen? Remember, he was good.
Saberhagen won a couple Cy Young Awards before he was with the Red Sox.
But he was still competitive with the Sox. He still gave you know, they had Pedro and eventually Pedro and just fucking cross your fingers. Yeah, that was it for the longest time.
When his brother was there, Ramon was sometimes good.
Against the Yankees, he had a couple good starts.
Yeah, those were.
So, do you guys hear the news who the Yankees picked up?
Yes. Great signing. Love it.
So fantastic. Like, we get somebody like Whitlock, and Cashman's just like, we want Ryan Weber.
Sure do.
I can't wait. I need him in pinstripes. I need him on the mound, and I need some lefties to just be going off on that short porch.
Jose Peraza's with them too.
Love that. Yeah. Love that.
Both 2020 Red Sox guys, both sucked for the Red Sox.
Zach Peraza had that great first game and then did absolutely nothing after that.
Oh my God, so bad.
Remember when Eckersley was like, he reminds me of Maddox? Yeah, and it was like, fuck. I mean, have you seen Greg Maddux pitch? I mean, like, come on.
Eckersley, if I'm Greg Maddux, talking about the velocity. Dennis. I don't even know what, but even it's like the thing was the Maddux had this accuracy, so you couldn't even say it was like, oh, you know, Weber can't throw, but like he's got a really good accuracy. No,
he sucked. Al Cormier, oh yeah, he was fucking great too.
R.I.P.
Oh, that's fuck, man.
There was I think when he was with the Phillies, he was like the best pitcher in baseball for about 6 weeks.
I remember that. I was fucking miserable. Yep. Terrible.
Never quite did that with the Red Sox, unfortunately.
No.
Oh, there's another name. Mike Kickham. You could put him in the Colorado.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
Zach Godley. Oh,
Zach Godley's the ace. That's it.
Just grunting audibly every single pitch.
Throw 88 miles per hour and then make it sound like he's like giving it all. He's like, ugh! You think he's throwing like 110 miles an hour?
What year was it when they had he's the ace, no, I'm the ace, like all those shirts? Remember that, like in spring training when they had that?
God.
I think it was 11. I think they were like, this is the best team ever assembled, but it wasn't. And
it was for a while, and then it went.
It sure did. It sure did.
They were great. Miley. Most of that season.
The 11 team is still 2015? Like.
What's 2015? That, Brad?
11. Was it 2011?
2011 is when the Red Sox were like, we're the best team in baseball through August 27th, something like that. And we're gonna hit the skids. We're gonna have a little rough patch, and then
we're gonna drink beer, eat chicken,
and then we got Bobby Valentine.
They did that in 2015 too, didn't they? With the he's the ace shirts.
Oh, did they? Oh no.
I gotta be honest. I don't really remember anything about the 2015 team. That was like a very bland team.
Who was on it? I'm trying to think that like they would all been like, oh, I'm the ace. No, I'm the ace. Masterson,
Buchholz, Porcello, Kelly, Miley.
Oh God! Yeah, none of you.
Justin, that was Justin Masterson. Masterson. Oh. I always liked
him. I liked Masterson. Mm-hmm. They traded him for Victor Martinez, right?
Which was a fair trade, man. Yeah, because he played well, but Masterson had a good career. For us. Yep.
Yeah, I'm mad Justin. That we didn't win anything with B-Mart because he was really good for us.
Now you got me thinking back down memory lane of all failed big hype Red Sox prospects.
Okay, I've got a random indie league one for you. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Morgan Burkhart.
Oh, fuck yeah. One of my all-time favorites.
I loved Morgan Burkhart.
Are you kidding me? Is he on Alcantara?
He was like an Appalachian League grade or some random-ass league like that they got about him.
I was so excited. I mean, you know, through the roof. Didn't work out.
Nope.
Donnie Sadler, another great name.
Oh man,
are we talking pitchers or are we talking players now?
Donnie Sadler
is anybody. Just
now, who was
there was a center fielder, a rookie center fielder who played for the Red Sox. Ah, fuck. When was it? It had to have been between 2005. In 2010, it wasn't Nava. It was someone else.
Bobby Kelty,
that they got from like an independent league.
No, not an independent league. He played like I want to say like a couple months for them, and then he got traded. And I think it started with the D, but it wasn't Daniel Nava. So I remember Nava.
Darnell McDonald,
not Ryan Kalish.
It wasn't McDonald.
I'm listening. What'd I'm you calling say? Out. Kalish?
No. It wasn't Ryan Kalish, was it?
No.
He was supposed to be so good. That was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, it was Reddick, Kalish, and Westmoreland, and somehow Reddick ended up being the best of the three of them.
Well, Westmoreland was potentially going to be something. He was
going to be Mike Trout, people say.
Yeah, lefty Mike Trout. God, that's something just to think about what he potentially could have been.
You know, you guys do have me thinking – they really haven't developed a homegrown starting pitcher since is it Buck? Who was drafted first, Buchholz or Lester?
Lester was before Buchholz. So technically Buchholz would be the last good one. But like if we're talking consistently, really, 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 really good one and healthy, it's Lester.
And that's like over 15 years ago until they identified someone and said,
technically if he was drafted in 2002, we're going on 20 years.
Was there anybody between Lester and Roger Clemens also?
That's a good point, too. Who knows?
Oh, shit. A lot of retreads in there. None that's jumping out to me that really get, you know, of any note, of any merit. But they really, I mean, when you think about it, it's impressive to positionally, they've developed a hell of a lot of positional players.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. Offensive players. Absolutely tremendous guys there. Yeah, I mean, even,
unequivocally.
Look at some of the guys who have left the team recently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Unequivocally.
It's just, it's unreal. But, like, fuck, they can't even get number four.
It's bad.
They really can't.
And then you had people, like, people thought Henry Owens was going to be good, and then he was just dog poop.
I don't even know. Is there a
before there was pitcher? Henry Owens, there was Casey Fossum.
Oh, hell yeah. There sure was. Who can you think of a starting pitcher that the Red Sox traded away that developed somewhere else? I can't even think of that.
Frankie Montas.
Okay.
That's the only one. But that was he was traded such a long time ago that he was part of the PV trade. So that was 2013. And he's like still only 30. So he was really young in his development.
But generally speaking, the Sox they don't even if you trade a starting pitching prospect away from the Red Sox, safe, fine. You know he's not gonna blow up.
He's not gonna be a superstar.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah.
And then I remember Felix there was a time DeBron. Where.
Oh, Felix DeBron.
I remember DeBron.
Oh, yeah, I remember DeBron.
He was Eduardo Rodriguez before E-Rod was a thing.
Edward Mojica. Right.
Oh, yeah, Edward Mojica was great.
Yeah. And then there was like that guy that threw weirdly, too. I remember he was supposed to be. And he just like. No. It was a white guy. And he had like a really weird delivery.
Yeah,
it was around the Papelbon like times, you know, when we thought Papelbon was gonna potentially
get stuck. Not Hanson.
No. Hanson did throw weirdly too, but this guy threw like extra weird.
I actually was at the game when Craig Hanson made his major league debut.
Oh, that's cool.
Really pumped, and that excitement ended really fucking quickly.
Oh shit. Okay, here's one. Okay, I think the guy that are you talking about Kason Gabbard?
No.
Made a good spot start. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was a lefty. I think he was part of a trade, I want to say, for like David Murphy or something like that.
Yes, he went to Texas. Yep.
Yes.
Kason Gabbard. Right. He could pitch for the Rockies.
Yeah, team. I wish I could think of this freaking guy. I think I'm gonna look at like 2005 Red Sox and just like
I don't
while
think it was 2005. I think it was a little later. Honestly,
now who's the knuckleball that they've had recently? Was it what's his name?
Stephen Wright.
Oh, the guy. Yeah.
But he wasn't drafted by the Sox, right?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Do you remember between Wright and Wakefield, there was another knuckleballer, Charlie Zink?
Sure do.
Yeah. Yep. That name's very familiar.
Great name. Bad pitcher. You know, and I get. Honestly, I don't know. I could not stand Papelbon. I was never a big Papelbon guy.
You just didn't like him as a person? Because I was like, there's a time where he was great.
Oh, he was, as a pitcher, really liked him. But he just like...
Yeah, not...
Just not my guy, you know?
Yeah, he was kind of like a... Yeah. He was either... Yeah, it was somebody you either liked him or you didn't. I get that.
Was the white guy with the funky delivery Michael Bowden?
Yes! That's the name.
Oh yes. Yeah,
he was. Supposed he ended to be up in really
Japan.
Good.
Yep, he ended up in Japan.
Yep.
They all ended up doing that.
Makes you wonder, like, could I be like a backup third baseman in the Japanese league?
You never know.
Maybe we'll do one way to find out. You got to go to that tryout.
They're like, look, I'm 42, right?
I'm starting.
I haven't played baseball in a while. Right, but no one's seen
fresh.
Me. They don't know.
You're fresh.
They don't know my holes. Oh yeah, you know what I mean. Nobody knows my holes, so like, I got the league.
Oh, I know your holes, Brady.
I fucking knew someone was going there because I thought it.
You boys know how to flatter me. I'll tell you, you really do. You know how to sweet talk a girl. I got to be honest with you. It is true though. The girl from Australia, man, her delivery, honestly, was smooth as fuck. No stress in the elbow in any way, shape, or form. Very, you know, easily repeatable delivery. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. No, that's just so good. And then, of course, what's in the you know, the comments, nothing but misogyny. But it was nice to see
really?
That there was a ton of misogynist comments.
I don't know why I would expect anything less.
Yeah. At least there were a lot of good ones too, though, which was great to see. But yeah, there's a lot like the Yankees organization and like what the that Tampa team signing the first female manager. Like the internet went off on one guy that said, "You do realize that women are supposed to like obey their husbands and like be mothers, and that's like their
job." I saw a thing on Facebook where I was just like, "Are you fucking kidding me? It's 2022, please."
Yep.
The guy was like, "I will not marry. I will not talk to a woman who's not a Christian. They are not allowed to. Lots of babies." And I was like, "Dude, what the fuck?"
Yeah.
I always wonder what guys online are like into like financial domination and that stuff. And I think like whenever I see comments, like, I'm like, "Oh yeah."
If I can find me a sugar mama, I mean, like, I'm still going to work. But, I mean, like, hey, I ain't going to say no if she's going to work, too.
I think you could do it, Brad. I think you could.
I know you could, Brad.
Jake Peavy?
Jake Peavy. I never was a big Jake Peavy guy.
Ruby De La Rosa? Oh,
Oh, Ruby. Ruby was like, I think his mother.
I got one for you.
Babysat Pedro's mother babysat Ruby De La Rosa.
That's kind of cool.
Joel Hanrahan.
Joel Hanrahan.
Oh, God. He got the Pirates.
Yep, from the Pirates. That's right.
Remember when we had Hanrahan and Bailey, and we thought we were going to have the best like eighth and ninth inning in baseball.
And that's when Koji.
We did.
That's when Koji came along. They lost their closer and their setup guy.
Who was the setup guy for Koji? Was that Tozawa or was it somebody else?
I think Tozawa was Okajima. No, he was 07, I think.
Yeah, Okajima was an 07 guy.
Yeah, it was Tozawa.
Oh, he was who was it? It was Tozawa. They had like a three-headed monster. Tozawa. And then who was the other lead to Koji? Nah.
He had Andrew Miller.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Miller in 2013. Yeah. That was a good-ass bullpen, man.
And imagine if they had a healthy Hanrahan and Bailey. That may have been
the most lethal.
Remember when Bobby Jenks went to the Red Sox?
Oh my God, why am I not seeing
that? That guy made me look like someone, like I need to eat food. I mean, that guy was just, he was a blimp.
He was like the worst possible timeline Bobby Hill. That was what he looked like. If he was raised by Cotton instead of Hank, he would have been Bobby Jenks.
Workman was also good in 2013 for the Red Sox.
That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, shit. Yep. I forgot he was there for that long.
Are you kidding me? He was up to bat in the 2013 World Series.
I just forgot.
Because Harold was a fucking idiot.
Oh, God, did you ever see the video of 2018 after the Sox won the World Series? Brandon Workman is drunk off his ass. And he's heading to a car. And he's just mumbling and stuttering some shit. And so whoever was like, just grabbed him and threw him in the car. He's like, I didn't even throw a fucking pitch. And they're like, get the fuck in, shut up. Just go.
I think drug Brandon Workman has to be in your Rockies pen.
Oh, yeah. Closer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. What happened to him? Jesus H.
I can't fucking find it at all.
But John Lester was great.
Yes.
He really, I don't know, it's like, he really was great. And he's one of the few mega free agent, you know, that for starting pitcher that worked out really well. Like, it's not like they just got a championship, but then he stunk and they said it's worth it. He was just really good the whole freaking time.
Hall of Famer? Hit. Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
You know, he never had a major arm injury his whole career. Never needed Tommy John. Started 30-plus games every year until, I think until the pandemic.
Yeah, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's right on the. Very borderline. Look, they let a lot of people in that I don't think are.
Yeah, it's a Hall of kind of good now.
Yeah, right. He's phenomenal. You know what I mean? But there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, the 2020 season he didn't start 30 games. He did, however, start 28 games in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he started. Yeah.
Like, I think Kurt
Schilling 30 games from 2008 on, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Durable.
He was obviously very, very consistent, too.
I think Schill had the more accomplished career. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, it's a little tough to say, and I know there's other things at play for Schill, but yeah.
Thing is, if Mussina's in, Schilling should be in, but Schilling's keeping himself out. That's what that is.
Oh, Schilling, agreed. Schilling's a much better career pitcher. Mussina was a great pitcher. Phenomenal.
Yeah. And if Mussina's a Hall of Famer, then yeah, Kurt Schilling's a Hall of Famer, if you just go by that.
You know? How about, not the Hall of Fame yet, but Sabathia, CC Sabathia, as a comparison to John Lester?
Oh, I don't. I just really have to think. Did Sabathia hit some of the milestones?
Where I think he won 250 games.
And then did he have 250?
When he got traded to the Brewers from the Indians, he took the ball every third day for like a month and a half and just said, "Give me the fucking ball." And I remember I was like, "Damn!" Like that guy, he had heart.
He threw over 3,000 3,000 innings.
He has 3,000 strikeouts. He's going to probably get into the Hall of Fame. That's, or, you know, if there are certain things that you, milestones.
Sabathia?
You
get, that's, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 3,093.
Yep.
3.78 ERA,
1.2, yeah. He averaged about 188 per season. It's crazy.
He really learned how to pitch
after his fastball kind of lost its juice, too. Like, he wasn't great his last couple of years, but he hung in there.
Yeah.
He only played with Milwaukee for 1 year.
Yo, yeah, he was traded in the middle of the season, and he was – whoa, lights out for them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was he had a 1.65 ERA.
For the Brewers?
Yep.
How many starts?
17.
And he was traded at the deadline.
And he pitched 7 complete games for them too.
I remember watching it. I was like, what the fuck? And then the Yankees signed, I was like, shit. Fuck it. It's all over.
Yeah. I hate that he went to New York. I really did. Because I would have really liked him. But sure. I'm going to be like, you know.
Wow.
Because I hear he's a great guy. So there's all these things. But there's those pinstripes and winning, too. You have to win there.
Like, could Messina, you imagine?
Did win there. So I could still kind of like him.
Agreed.
He won that. In 2009.
No, Mike Messina did not win.
He retired.
Oh, Moose. Oh, yeah.
Moussino retired in 2008.
I thought we were talking about Sabathia. Yeah, that's kind
of
suck.
No, except Sabathia like, winning is like.
Yeah. Dude, like the amount of – this guy pitched 241 innings in 2007. In 2008, he hit 253. Could you imagine anybody nowadays fucking throwing 253 innings?
No, oh my God, he didn't break his arm or die or explode. They're just babying them now, I really think, you know. I understand there's so much money invested, but yeah, I just feel like it pisses me off that they go like 5 innings and we're like.
Yeah, but you know what's kind of crazy?
In 2010, he threw 237 and 2/3 innings. And the very next year, he pitched 1/3 of an inning less.
Man.
Is Bailey, you're right. You know, they try to protect, you know, their investments. But, like, A, it doesn't really seem like it works anyway. And B, if you're going to spend all this money, get something out of it. Like, just, you know, like, if you get hurt, then it's a risk you take. And, you know, surgeries for, like, Tommy John, it's not 100%, but it's pretty good that they're going to come
back. I'm so upset I can't come up with that kid's name.
Darren Bragg?
No.
He was great. Ed, you remember Darren Bragg?
I remember Darren Bragg. He was on I've had this Ken Griffey Jr. Major League Baseball for the N64. He was one of the outfielders. It was Darren Bragg. God, who are the other two? Darren Lewis and Damon Buford.
Dude, Darren Lewis was one of my favorite Red Sox.
He was like Jackie Bradley. He was like the poor man's Jackie Bradley Jr. He was a great fielder.
And Troy O'Leary was like a poor man's Trot Nixon.
Oh, I remember Troy O'Leary.
In left Troy field. O'Leary.
Yep, hit a grand
slam. He had 28 home runs 1 year for them.
He hit a grand slam in the 99 postseason.
Yeah, he was great in 99.
Got pumped. That's when Pedro came in relief against the Indians and barely could throw above 75 and just fucking just mowed him down.
Do you remember, and this was, I think, the year after that, because you mentioned Trot Nixon, do you remember that ESPN game of the week where it was Clemens against Pedro and they went into, like, the 9th inning and it was still 0-0 and Nixon hit a 2-run bomb off Clemens?
Yep. Oh, yeah. That was great.
I think that's my earliest memory of, like, actually, like, the game. Because, I mean, I remember bits and pieces, but I remember just, like, being, like, 10 years old and just being on the edge of my seat for that whole game. Because we were going to the game. We actually went to the game when they came back, and I remember Nixon getting, like, a standing ovation. It was one of, like, the first, one of my first games that I'd ever been to. It was really, it was freaking, like, when people talk about Fenway magic, it was magical, dude.
Do you remember the start where Pedro hit?
Gerald Williams.
No, he hit Jeter and he hit Alfonso Soriano, the first two batters of the game, and they both went to the hospital in the same ambulance because they were like, fuck, like, we got to go. And then Pedro, I think, let up a hit that inning, and that was it the rest of the fucking
night. That's such a
classic
Pedro game. Like, because the Gerald Williams one was almost the same thing against Tampa where he was throwing a no-hitter going into the 9th.
And he attacked him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, hitting. Yeah, there was that brawl, but Pedro hitting guys just always seemed to work out well for him. And I always felt like his control was good enough that he could kind of pick and choose when he was doing it.
I've kind of heard some interviews when he kind of hinted at there weren't too many pitches that ever got away from him.
Yeah,
you know, like Soriano and Jeter when they stepped in, he established the fucking that's my box, and. And he just hit him in the wrist. And the next batter, he's like, I'm going to do the same shit. Yankees game was wild. I mean, they just took out their top two hitters. Unbelievable.
I'm going to end up finding that kid's name like tomorrow or something.
Did he play like two games? And then you're like.
Yeah, he really did. When one of the guys that I worked with at the time, he was like, oh, I got his autograph for you. I was like, oh, cool. And he was like fucking with me. And I was like, oh, you're such a dick.
What was the time period?
You know what? I thought it was between like 2005 and 2010, but it definitely wasn't because.
You're making it hard when you don't even know the year, Brad. Like,
yeah, sorry.
And he played center, and it was center field specifically?
I don't think it was center.
Okay. Wait, hold on. You don't know the year, nope. No initials. No position.
You know what, Brady? Go fuck yourself. I
mean, that's like if I said you, I have a song stuck in my head. You're like, who sings it? I'm like, I don't know. What genre? Not sure.
Right? What's the beat?
But you know not what really I'm talking confident. About, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Fuck you. You know the one, the song.
Yeah, with like music and lyrics.
It has a beat.
I can't hear you. Everybody else can.
That's cool. That's great. Fucking Brad.
Yeah, I was like, it wasn't the short period of time that Grady Sizemore played for the Red Sox.
Oh, I love Sizemore.
I have a picture of me with
good day Grady for Sizemore. Me. Oh, God, you were near Grady Sizemore.
I'll have to show you his sexiness.
Oh, my God. I am Grady's lady.
That almost sounds like me, so thank you.
Brady's lady.
The funniest thing though is I went to it was 2007. I went to Cleveland. We did like a baseball tour, and there are girls with signs that say Grady's ladies and all that, and everybody there was this one woman. I loved her confidence. She was a heavy set woman. She had a sign that said Hafner's heifer. And I
what?
Travis Hafner. It said Hafner's heifer. It was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in my life. I was like, you this go, lady girl. Is hilarious.
That's great. I mean, like, wow.
I was like, that's hysterical. Yeah, I thought it was so funny. I was like, that's confidence. I love it.
I wonder if there was a reference to Travis Hafner at all.
It was, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was try. Yeah, it was when Hafner was on. Yeah, it was like when Pronk. They were really good. Yeah,
he was good. Pronk. He was good until he went to the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, he did not do well for them.
Good.
That's no, it's why okay. I mean, more. They suck. It's like when you know we forget about things, like when Kevin Youkilis briefly played for the Yankees.
Brad, yeah, he just took their money and didn't do anything though, so that was fine.
Was it Mike Karp?
No, it wasn't.
I remember Karp.
Oh, I do. It wasn't Bobby Kilty, Karp? Right?
One of the things I've always wanted to see was Mike Karp pitch to Mike Trout.
We could sign him up for the Rockies and make that happen.
And then throw like Tim Salmon in there.
Yeah, I don't. That's funny.
You didn't put that together?
No, but like I forgot about Tim Salmon, and it really is just really funny. It's like an extra layer that I didn't see coming. Really
and then
funny.
Salmon and Trout were both angels.
There's got to be more fish names. Now I'm going to be fucking racking my
brain. There's got to be somebody whose last name is actually fish, right?
Mm. Oh, there has to be.
Kevin Bass. Oyster Burns.
See?
AJ Pollock. Lip Pike. Sid
this
Bream.
Is great.
Hank Cogner.
I just want like a guy who's like Dick Whale.
Oh, hold on. They have an all fish team. All right, in left field, we have Kevin Bass. In shortstop, we have Oyster Burns. In center field, we have Mike Trout.
right field, we have Tim Salmon. As DH, we have AJ Pollock. At third base, we have Lip Pike. At first base, we have Sid Bream. At
Sid Bream.
Catcher, Hank Cogner. Second base, we have Bobby Sturgeon. Bench, Mike Karp, Chico Salmon, Ed Whiting, Calix Crab, starting pitcher, Dizzy Trout, Jack Morris, Catfish Hunter, Mudcat Grant, Steve Trout, relief pitchers, Art Herring, Marlon Stewart, Anthony Bass, Brian Bass, Chris Ray, George Haddock, and Robbie Ray.
I can't believe somebody's last name is Haddock. That's great.
Brad, I think I found the guy. Bryce Brents.
Ooh, I remember that name. Yeah,
I remember Brents.
I'm really
about Alex Hassan.
Oh yeah, he was fucking hot garbage.
Oh shit, dude.
And if you're listening, Alex, I apologize. You know, you're a great human being and an ambassador.
Better than I'd ever be at playing baseball. That's how I'll say.
Oh,
maybe not.
Izzy Alcantara.
Is what a kick to the remember that when he kicked the catcher right in the fucking chest and he went to go attack the pitcher? That was,
oh god, yes.
Unbelievable.
Between him and Jose Offerman, the Red Sox had some classic umpire assaulters on their team.
Well, Carl Everett was 1 second away from an assault at all times. Yep.
Love Todd Myers. Neil Finn.
You're still
Harry L. Yeah, I'm still going.
The John Lester episode,
this
everyone.
This one's actually, yeah, this is appreciation to John Lester. Dory Dean.
Oh, are you thinking of Lars Anderson?
No.
Oh, he's
another failed one.
Ooh. Adam Heisdew.
Oh.
No.
Huh?
Ooh, I remember Heisdew.
Brad?
No.
Okay. This is
I have to find it.
I am almost thinking
it doesn't exist.
Oh, remember the Andy Dominique.
Oh, I remember that. You know, he coaches a softball team for the University of Reno now. Mm-hmm. Or at least he did in 2015 because I looked him up.
Yeah, no, he actually he did some
damn weird.
I had him paint my shed a couple weeks ago. He was like, remember Andy Marte? Remember him?
Oh, didn't he die though?
Oh fuck no!
I believe he passed away a few years ago. He was the guy that they traded for Coco Crisp.
Yep, he was.
Andy Marte.
He was supposed to be the next great thing.
Oh, yep, dead? Yeah, he was killed in a car crash in the Dominican Republic. I think it was the same week as Oscar Tavares.
Oh god!
What the fuck? That's way to bring everybody down there, Ed. I was just trying to.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm really Damian Jackson.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. The head. His head smashed Brad? Into.
Brad? Was it Johnny Damon? Is it just Johnny Damon?
Is it just too obvious?
I don't know who it is, honestly.
I mean,
all these names don't make, they're not like, oh, that's a.
That's him, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely him. I don't know. I don't know the year. I don't know his name. I know he played outfield.
Ed, do you remember Freddie Sanchez?
I do. Didn't he win a batting title one year?
He was I think Pittsburgh, the Padres. Right? He was. Let me see. Yeah, I think you're right. Yep, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think it was with the. He had 326 or something like that. It might something like that.
Yeah, he was like Brady Anderson. Leaves for 1 year. Has a great year. Although he actually had a pretty respectable career, Freddie Sanchez.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He was like one of these light-hitting infielders that always seemed to put up a decent batting average. You don't really see a lot of guys like that anymore.
Oh, Tim Nehring was a good version of that.
He could have just stayed healthy. Nehring would have been a monster. He just couldn't. He could play. He just couldn't
Jeff
stay
Fry?
Healthy.
Remember Jeff Fry?
I love Jeff Fry. I follow Jeff Fry on Twitter, and it's just him talking about, coaching kids. It's actually kind of adorable.
Yeah. He actually plows for me, so it's pretty.
Oh, that's cool too. Wow, you've got a whole team there.
Yeah,
who plows for you? Who's he plowing?
Your alpacas.
Yep. Tinkerbell, be careful.
Mike Lansing.
Oh, what a gift from God. I honestly, Brad, this is going to bother me a real lot because I don't know how far back to go. But Chris Steins?
Nope.
Oh, shit, I remember him.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
There's Morgan Burkhart in all of his glory and splendor. Yep. Interesting.
There was a guy in the rotation for the Red Sox, I think in the late 90s or early 2000s. It's Crawford. I don't remember his first
Paxton
name.
Paxton Crawford.
Paxton, that's what it was, because there's Cutter Crawford now. And I was trying to remember who the other Crawford was.
He got caught with, remember Manny Alexander had all the hypodermic needles?
Oh, God, Manny Alexander. There's another one.
Yep, dropped all the steroids, just fell right out in front of, I think, the Boston media. And they were like, yeah, those were the good times. That's when the Sox ownership didn't spend because they were not alive. So that was tough. Yeah, good times. Brad, I don't think this person really exists.
I think that it was Bailey using time travel. That's my theory on this. Went back, played center field for 3 games. Makes sense to me.
Ed Sprague played 33 games as a member of the Red Sox. He hit .216 with 2 homers.
It's not very good. Those are not good statistics.
He had 4 doubles and no triples. No stolen bases either, if you were wondering. Ed Sprague, everyone.
Ed Sprague could not steal bases. What a twist there.
No, yeah. I mean, he was a failed catcher. They moved to third.
You know who was better than Morgan Burkhart at first base? Brian Daubach.
Loved me some Brian Daubach.
Daubach was awesome.
They used to have the t-shirts, Daubach is my daddy.
I don't remember those.
Oh, yeah. They were fucking great. Absolutely great. Yep. Girls would wear them. Love it. Love it.
I should find one of those to wear for the next off game. He was like the third base coach for a team I went to at AAA this year. I forget which team it was, but he got big.
Well, Keith Folk said he's got nothing on me, so, you know.
Oh, God. What happened to Keith Folk? Jeez.
Ed, do you remember
Keith
Shane
Folk
Spencer?
Keith Folk ate Keith Folk. That's what it was.
Sure as fuck did. Do you remember Shane Spencer from the Yankees?
Yes. Didn't he like – he got in a lot of trouble for some stuff. Like, well, isn't he in jail?
No, he's coaching a youth baseball team about 20 minutes from my house. I was like,
why did I think Shane Spencer was in jail?
Oh, because you're thinking of Chad Curtis.
Oh, yes, that is why.
Yeah, Chad Curtis got in some real fucking trouble. Yep.
In my defense,
they're very similar.
Same person. Brad, I don't think this person exists.
I know they exist.
Well, I'd say probably never made it to the show.
They did. A couple games.
Are you sure they played for the Red Sox?
That could be. No, they definitely played for the Sox.
He's like someone who played in a baseball game at some position at some point in time.
It was an outfield because he played center field. And I know he played center field for at least one game.
I'm like looking players that played briefly for the Red Sox.
I know for a fact. I don't know for a fact. I think it was he got called up and then he got traded. I know he got traded.
Cesar Crespo?
No. Fuck. It was a white guy.
I love Cesar Crespo.
He was not David Murphy, though.
Who's he? Okay, hold on. Now I'm going back. There was a fucking.
Brandon Moss?
Ooh.
No.
It's not real, Brad.
Matt Burton?
I don't know.
I hate how invested I am into trying to figure this shit out. This is not good because you're gonna.
Do we still? Do we want to try and figure this out and like have it record, or do we want to just like fucking end the episode
and then just keep looking?
I don't know what you do, because the problem is it could be anybody, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, that's, it's an Easter egg hunt.
It's like an alternate timeline. It's like there's
like totally, if we had a little bit more information, we could do like slightly more.
Just a smidge.
I don't know how much more I can give you. He played for the Red Sox. He played in the outfield. Okay. And he's white.
Did he have two eyes?
Mm. Yes, and they were both looking straight. They weren't one this way, one that way, like Grady Sizemore.
He does not have a stray eye.
Damian Harris?
I'm going to... Hold on. Did you just say that? I'm going to get my picture with Grady Sizemore and show you. I loved Grady Sizemore. I fucking was absolutely happy when we got him. But he does have a stray eye.
He doesn't have a stray eye in those leak nudes.
I don't know about that one.
I can confirm.
I cannot deny or confirm that. Bailey can.
Good for you, Grady. What's Grady Little doing now?
Grady Little? I think we're talking a size board.
Grady Little. That's another. Sorry, brain fart.
Different Grady.
He's dead.
Grady Little, is he alive, Ed?
I think so. I believe
he's 71. Yep, Grady Little is still alive.
He is?
Yep.
That's good. He fucked up.
He last managed for the Dodgers from 2006 to 2007.
Yeah, another one of the another ex-Red Sox that went to L.A.
He really pissed me off. There's a lot of nights I lost sleep about Grady Little.
Guess who he's working with right now?
Pedro Siriaco?
Sherrington.
I love me Ben Sherrington.
December 8th, 2014, Little joined the Pittsburgh Pirates as a senior advisor to the team's front office.
Hmm. Good for Sherrington.
Gray Little's like, just leave him in. And they're like, nah, I think we should pull him. I think we should pull him. Nope. Fuck it. Just keep going. Not Pedro Siriaco, though. No?
Oh, I love Siriaco.
Great. That's another high average, low power guy.
I'm gonna start looking up minor leaguers.
Yeah, right.
What's the over under that you ever actually go like this? Yeah, that was the guy.
I don't know how to do that.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I think the problem is we've gone through almost 20 years of Red Sox of people that made obscure debuts, and you got nothing.
I don't think it was his debut.
Mike Cameron? No, he's white guy. You said white guy.
This was my fantasy, and it came true. He was bad.
Why are you showing a picture of me? That's not.
Yes.
Brady size even more.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the size. It's not so bad.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Brady Sizemore.
I've
got to
go look
please.
Up Brady Sizemore and leak nudes after this.
Oh, Hungdale, where are you?
It's not a full nude. It's more like his bum, and he's covering certain places, but, you know. When they got leaked and I was like 19, I was like, what? It's like they saw in my soul.
Oh, well, it's been John Lester, really fucking great career.
Cool guy. So
I love how I type in Grady Sizemore, like, not, I didn't put in nudes because like that was going to send me some weird stuff, but it did somehow give me a picture of when Javier Baez was on the body issue. So what's it like to go play for another team when you literally have the Cubs like on your body? Like he has a whole freaking Cubs tattoo and now he's just going to go play for Detroit. That's an insane tattoo. Holy shit.
Turn the bear into a tiger. Do it. Like a bear man pig, just kind of like.
It was like Johnny Gomes has a freaking tattoo of himself on the boat.
What? He does?
Oh yeah, I haven't seen Johnny. Oh my god, let me show you Johnny Gomes's tattoo. It's insane. Hold on.
Brad brought this up a couple weeks ago. Johnny Gomes, for as great as he is and as fun as he is, he is awful commentator.
Oh yeah, he's not good.
Holy shit, he really does. He really does have a. He has a tattoo of himself. Here, hold on. I'll share it.
Yeah, you share it there because I don't have my computer. Yeah, I'm looking it up on the phone.
I'm still trying to think of names.
What like this tattoo had of hurt like hell is all I can say.
Did you hear that he was selling his is it his jersey from the 2013 winning game? And I was like, what kind of financial mess did Johnny Gomes get into where he's like, anyone want to buy my jersey for 26 grand?
If he was like giving that to charity, that would have been great.
Yeah, he said portion.
A portion.
$15.
It's like how much? Let's see how much he made over his career.
He's gotten some trouble. Something.
Yeah,
going
he
on.
Had to have. Yeah.
He tried to buy Bitcoin way too late.
It's that one right there, like all the way to the left. Like, I don't know what that tattoo is, but
that's the Kansas City.
Hey Ed,
a Kansas City one too. He didn't even do shit for Kansas City.
Hey Brady.
Do you have a tattoo, Ed?
I don't.
What would you get if you were to get one? What would it be?
Tramp stamp of my own face.
Hot.
Ooh.
Right. Yeah. Looking back so
when someone's pegging you, you know they're looking at your face.
Exactly. They got to look me in the eye.
Would that be
which eye? The brown eye or the round?
Why not both?
He made over $20 million for his career. So, yeah, he must have fucked up something.
Now he'll replace the windows in your condo, no problem. Like,
I'll pay Johnny Gomes. Yeah. So, back to what you were saying earlier. Yeah, Gomes is fucking terrible as on TV.
Yeah, he just doesn't have the charisma.
Ed, I just need to know if your tattoo would be of a bearded Ed or a clean-shaven Ed.
Oh, gosh.
It's got to be shaven.
Probably a clean-shaven Ed, just because, like, my back isn't that hairy. I don't think, like, the drawn-on beard would look that good, so.
I was hoping you had a little bit down there so you could have an option. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure as I get older, there'll probably be a little more. I don't know on that one. Like, what do you think? What do you think would be the better look for my tramp stamp of myself?
I think a tramp stamp is generally too small for what I would like to see. You know, like I definitely
just a back tattoo. Pull a Ben Affleck.
I can do it. I can do that.
Yeah.
Do any of you have tattoos?
Yes.
No.
What do you have, Brady?
I have a. Little shamrock band here, my Irish people.
That's cool.
And Celtic cross for my father.
Oh, nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
I actually have a tramp stamp.
Oh god.
Let's see.
Is it of your own face though?
No. It's a star. That's all it is.
Let me see it. Come on, let's see it.
A little bit of a letdown, I gotta be honest.
What'd you say?
Let's see it. Come on.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What were you saying, Ed?
Oh, a little bit of a letdown that it's not your own face.
Oh.
Let's see it. Come on. Just don't do a Hogdale.
A Hogdale?
Yeah.
Hogdale?
What'd Hogdale do?
Hold on. Oh, that's cute.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I let one of my friends who was apprenticing to tattoo. I was like, here, you can do this and do it on my back. Do it wherever you want. And they decided right above my ass. And I was like, fuck you.
Hey, can I ask everyone a question that has nothing to do with anything? Have you ever known a guy to have his belly button pierced?
No.
Brad, no.
All three of you know somebody.
Oh shit!
There you go. Yeah, that just sounds so painful.
Let's get this straight. You have a tramp stamp.
Hold on. You have a tramp stamp. I'll explain why I don't have it now. I'll explain it why I had it. When I was about 20 years old, I was homeless. I was hanging out at a tattoo shop on a daily basis. The guy who worked at the tattoo shop, I was apprenticing under him, and I moved in with him, and he was like, if you're going to learn how to do this, you got to do it on somebody. And I was like, well, belly button piercings are probably the most common ones, piercings to do. So to learn how to do, I actually had to, I pierced myself 3 times.
Oh God.
Wow. That sounds incredibly painful.
Oh yeah, it does. Shit.
The belly button is actually the least painful piercing I've ever had. And really? just for the record, I've never had anything below the belly button. So there's that. Just
boring.
Did you have your ears pierced?
Yep. I had my ears stretched.
Oh God. Oh Jesus.
But I've had my industrials done.
Have you had your balls tightened?
In your mouth? Yes.
Okay. As one does.
My bad.
But no, the industrial is through the cartilage of your ear from one side to the other. That was probably one of the more painful ones.
Septum. Oh.
I've had my tongue pierced 3 times. I've had 3 different piercings in my tongue.
How do you get through a metal detector? Like, what do you do?
Take them all out.
It's surgical steel. You're not fucking, it's not going to be like, it's not going to make a metal detector go off.
Boring.
Probably the most painful ones, though.
Yeah, my nipples were incredibly sensitive, so I can only imagine what that would feel like to have them pierced.
Imagine it getting ripped out, because that's what happened to my left one.
Let's see it.
Oh, my nippies.
Oh, that looks great. Fuck.
It's forever hard, too.
That hue, the hue on that is really nice.
The hair?
No, the hue, the color.
Color.
I'm a big, you know, it's got to be
connoisseur of nipple colors.
Yeah, it's a big thing for me. And
big hobby.
I have a Joker tattoo with a septum piercing.
My God. How did that had to hurt like hell? Like right around your breast?
Oh. What, the tattoo?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think we call it a breast for a man. I think we just call it a man boob is the appropriate term. Yeah.
Chest.
I believe the scientific term is man titty with a D.
Man titty, yes. Do your man titty. Yeah, titty.
My man titty. Yeah, that no, really the... Good. The part right around the nip was a little painful. It was painful. All right, anybody want to add anything else to the John Lester Appreciation Podcast?
Ed should get a John Lester tattoo.
Where should I get the John Lester tattoo?
On your head.
You know exactly where the fuck. Don't you play coy with me.
That's gonna hurt so much, tattooed. Though.
No, just like on the pube area.
Ah, no, that's gonna hurt, dude.
Right above his junk?
Yeah.
That's not gonna hurt.
I think it would. I think that like it's kind of close to the surface. Where do you think
the least painful place is for a tattoo?
I don't know.
Most painful would be close to the bone, right? Like on your rib cage.
What about like, I think the bicep wasn't bad.
This hurts, right? Like right around here because it's so sensitive?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
That area?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that hurts.
That didn't hurt me at all.
That hurt.
Really? Oh.
My most painful tattoo I've had was this one.
Yeah, that looks like the spot where that's gonna to be brutal. Is that the doll from Saw?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I had an idea for a Saw crossover between Saw and The Office.
Oh God.
The Saw Office?
Yeah, the Saw Office, exactly.
It's great. Ed, I can't wait till we get this. It would be a great video, really good content of Ed getting a John Lester tattoo somewhere in his nether region.
It's just going to be me screaming for like a straight half hour that, oh, that looks kind of cool.
I'll hold you.
Tattoos aren't that painful.
They might be.
Oh, God, I don't know.
It's okay.
I feel like people's pain tolerances are different too, you know.
I think you're just like the bad guy from that James Bond movie, Brad, that like couldn't feel pain anymore in like his body, so he was like a killing machine.
Brad's so hardened he doesn't feel anything anymore.
The Joker tattoo is pretty fucking bad. The one on my chest, the bat symbol, was pretty bad. And the saw Billy the Saw Doll was pretty bad. But I mean, like, once you're in it, you're in it. Like the Jason tattoo I have on my right side, that took like 45 minutes for the guy to do. The Saw Doll took about 3.5 hours.
Cool.
So yeah, I had to take lots of pills for that, numbing pills.
Ugh. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna get some Spike Seltzer. Is that
what can they put anything like on you? Can they like numb your skin at all?
I don't think they probably can now.
You can numb yourself.
Yeah, just go in and be like,
no, not via drinking.
Yeah, because they won't tattoo you, right? If you're like wasted, or they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Well, they're not supposed to serve you when you're well past, but you know that shit happens anyway.
Yeah, very true.
And I'm so excited for this. Oh fuck, this is gonna be great.
All right, everyone. All right, hey Bailey, thanks so much for coming on. Ed, you as well. Let everybody know where they can hear you guys and your podcast that you are doing as well.
Yeah, it's Bubbly Baseball. We're pretty much we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Amazon. Yeah, pretty much everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us now.
Follow us on Twitter at Bubbly and Baseball.
All right, and Brady, fuck you.
Yep, that checks out.
Thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.